Welcome into
voice.
The drive, Dave, Katie, and Nate. 339-1140. 1-800.
Oh, we're just gonna.
It's true. 920-1140. Katie, did I hear you laugh? Can you hear us okay?
I can hear you guys. Yeah.
Let's peel back the curtain here for a second, because really that's what we do. Some shows will choose to stay professional. Us, of course, we're the furthest from. Poor Nathan today. I want everybody to.
Come on, don't pity me.
They say thoughts and prayers. And poor Nate. Well, let's start with poor Matt George. Matt George was feeling under the weather yesterday. Matt is off today. So what happens is everybody kind of shuffles. So Matt's off. Nate is the only one on the show, and I would say no offense to Katie and myself, but really offense, because we've never taken
the
time.
There should be offense to you. I've been at the station for like 6 months.
Well, at least he's not making excuses, Christensen. Well,
I just learned where the bathroom was.
3 minutes.
Good year.
3 minutes in, and the woman is deflecting. The over-under was 4.5 today. So Nate has moved behind the control board and is doing the Matt George stuff and updates and participating in the program. That puts Katie, which she would have been anyways, she's now in Boston, where I hope the ground is not slippery, and we'll get to that. Oh, gee golly, will we get to that here in just a few seconds. And I am currently, feel bad for me, because I'm in the studio right now, and I'm all by myself. I can see Nate through the glass, but I turn to my left, and hey, Katie, you're not here.
No, you're all on your lonesome, dude.
I'm all on my own, and really, what that means, the bottom line is, I could fart all day long, and
no
one would know. No one.
You were gonna fart all day.
No one will know.
The perfect day for that. Like, not only because you're isolated, but I'm having some issues with that too.
Are you?
I think as long as we're
well, our boss / executive producer is in the other room, right next to you, so he's gonna have to deal with you. Me, I got nothing. I'm by myself. So we are a discombobulated yet together program for you today. And thank God we have highlights to go over, Katie, from last night's game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, lots of highlights. But, hey, I want to get back to the flatulence problem.
Oh, please. Oh, let's.
My two on-air buddies.
Is that where this is going?
Musk-we?
Okay.
Yeah. You know.
Did you say musk-we?
Musky?
Well done. Yes, Katie.
With Jerry Brown saying that cows are now, they're flat. You read the other day.
Yeah, he's regulating cow farts.
They want to try and regulate it and decrease cow farts because it's affecting the environment. I actually think that you and Nate probably affect the environment more than the cows.
Here's the thing, and I take exception to that, and I'll tell you why.
So funny, Katie.
Because
where
is Boston? You're so cute.
Nate is, and let's just boil down what I'm going to say to a simple sentence. Whereas Nate is a real human being, and I'm a fraud. The reason I take exception is when you're here.
I know what you're gonna do. Yeah.
I don't. There's no flatulence coming from me. That's not to say that I am a man and do not bleed. I do and have gas, but I hold it in. Nate will like put his leg up on
I
the
get
table
up on a wheel, dude.
Yeah, he'll do like gymnastics and stuff and make it happen. I will either A, go into another room or find some other place in the building where no one can see me, or B, one of my preferred things is to silently do it and then feign like, oh my God, what is that? And then blame somebody else for it.
This is so funny. I've been friends with you for how long?
Which is why we need a show dog, by the way.
Yeah. Need a show dog.
Just sit in the corner.
Yeah. I know that you used to have your farts sponsored on your show.
I did.
But in the entire time I've known you, you've never farted in front of me.
Almost accurate, not quite. And you're right. Out of
that
all,
I know of.
Well, no, not true.
Such a gentleman, Dave.
No, she'll remember this too. There was a weekend last summer where Katie and one of her girlfriends and my wife and me and a few others, so don't start rumors now, we rented a house up in wine country, and we spent a weekend tasting wine up in beautiful Amador County. And Katie and I, because we do morning shows, we are, of course, you know, while her doctor friend and my wife, Mommy Drunk by Noon, were just hammered like everybody was the night before, they would sleep in. Katie and I were up at the butt crack at 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's like 6 o'clock.
So we're outside on the porch one morning having our coffee and enjoying a beautiful view of the forest and the trees and hearing the birds. And
all that. There were deer.
And I went to go inside to take a shower, and I stood up and I stretched. And right at the peak of my stretch, and totally involuntary, and I just kind of looked at her, and I think I like ran out of the room like the junior high school girl that got made fun of in the MP room. Just
That's
ran
right.
out.
That is the only time I've ever heard you fart.
I'm just saying.
It wasn't very manly, though.
No, it was not.
Just make sure that you remember all of this and the difference between you and me next time. We go on a road trip as a family here, and you're complaining about Katie getting all the time with me and you not getting any.
the wine country trip?
Not the wine country trip. Just, you know, who's a man and who's not.
That's true.
Yes.
It's very true. You drink your dark beers and fart.
And impress the ladies.
I hold them in, which is probably why I'm so bitchy all the time. And then like last night, I went to the Cirque du Soleil at at Golden One. It was cool, man. It was
I'll bet.
Now this is a
are you being sarcastic? Because I'll bet it was pretty neat if you're into that thing.
No, I'm not. It was cool, and I would suggest to anyone who has some free time to go check it out. And no joke here at all. I didn't know this until we got there. But apparently, the night before the San Francisco performance, one of the cast members died, and I didn't know that. And somebody had said something or tweeted something to me, and I blew it off like they're just making a sick joke. But then as the voice who is, you know, get ready, take your seats, that guy. Right before he said we're dedicating this to
dim the lights a couple times.
And then
what
said,
happened?
I honestly don't know. I honestly don't know because then the show started, but they were dedicating the performance to whomever. And then it was an interesting moment. I don't know what the and I know everybody's heart was in the right place. Let me just say that I'm really not going to make a joke about somebody passing away to Cirque du Soleil. I'm honestly asking when the person announced that they were dedicating the show, and I forget. I think it was a lady. The lady's name that passed away. After he said that, the whole the arena like clapped, not cheered, but there was a very polite yet loud applause, and I joined in out of respect. But then I started thinking like that felt kind of weird. Like a moment of silence, I totally get. You know, to respect somebody who passed away, it felt kind of weird clapping.
A golf clap.
Yeah, after an announcement of somebody passing away, but everybody else was doing.
It was a performer. That's a nice thing to give a performer that's passed
away.
Is that, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah.
That makes sense. Is that a thing, maybe? Like, if it happens, you know, stage and all that, you give the fun. Okay.
I don't know.
How are you supposed to react?
I always thought if somebody passes, it's a moment of silence. I thought that was the you know, polite way or whatever of doing things. Either way, that passed, and then they opened the show, and it's based on that movie Avatar, right? So that we were talking about yesterday, and my goodness, there were three things I thought. Number one, this is pretty amazing.
Number two, I can't wait for them to make a sequel to this stupid movie.
You know, it's like loosely based on Avatar. And what they mean by loosely based is like the colors and they're not animals. I don't know what the hell they are. The aliens, the blue things, you know, they look like that. So I was thinking, number one, my daughter and my mother should have been there because that they both love shiny things. And this would have been right up their alley. They would have just oohed and awed at all. The pretty colors. And then number two, I don't remember. I don't remember what number two was.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. I derailed you.
Nate, I thought of you, and I no offense here. I don't know why I thought of you, but you came into my head. This is a true story. I thought, you know, this is the type of thing I could see people ingesting things before they went to this program, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's why you thought of Nate?
Mood-altering
medication?
Yeah, something that may. I just looked at what was going on, and you know how they say, well, this looks great, but what about it? Does it look great on weed? And I felt
the John Stewart thing.
Yeah, and so I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, wow, you know, what if someone was doing some psychedelics or something and seeing this stuff unfold? I don't know if that would be amazing or really scary.
Terrifying.
Or a combination of both.
You know, maybe I'll do a little homework this weekend.
Mm. Apparently, it was a help from the texters. It was a technician, not a performer, that passed away. So there's that. Okay. And then they're saying, you know, like the applause and all that, the break a leg. They're not really talking about break a leg before the show, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Okay. So that makes sense. So that's that. Here's what we got on the program today with Matt George out. We will try to carry on here at some point. And everyone, if you have Matt George's home number, please call him and make sure he is okay throughout the day. Darren Collison, he will join us at 8:05, and we'll break down last night's game. Yeah, that's happening. Also, don't forget on KHDK, Cowboys Vikings, and we'll talk about this, an actual real Thursday night game that might matter at some point. That's happening, 5 o'clock pregame and 5:30 tip-off. Bob Nightingale is going to join us at 7 o'clock, and we're going to talk to him about the brand-new collective bargaining agreement. We're starting to get some details on that CBA that are very, very exciting. So we got a lot of stuff planned for you. Morning Brew is next. An embedded reporter, Katie Christensen, was on the scene last night doing all kinds of fun and exciting updates on the floor in Philadelphia. Thank God, not only do we have her as a guest, we have her as a co-host. We'll get the lowdown. Props to the boys from noon to 3 on everything that happened in Philadelphia last night. Morning Brew next on The Drive. Stay tuned. Sports 1140 KHDK. The film was The Departed by Martin Scorsese. The Sheen was Martin Sheen, who was killed off in that movie. Welcome in. It is The Morning Brew. And our top story is the Kings and Sixers are postponed.
Perspiring.
It's a combination of perspiration and postponed.
Right.
Due to weather. Yeah. Now, normally, I'll lead off Morning Brew and we'll rotate. Katie, I'm going to shift on the fly here. I want to trade you number one for number two. not that you can't speak about our next subject, but it was great. In a lame way because of the circumstances, but Katie was like embedded reporter in Philadelphia, and I was watching the studio show with Doug and James Hamm and Jim Cosimore, and they kept going back to Katie, who interviewed DeMarcus Cousins and then was out on the floor and she was doing all this stuff. Katie, you were on the scene, and we're so lucky to have you every morning, but especially this one. I mean,
thanks, Dave. I'll still do the next one because you're technically doing this one.
I'm not. I was just introducing you for a really long time.
Yeah.
Go.
No. We're going to get into this more. It was one of the most bizarre things. And I was talking to Jerry Reynolds kind of when we got to Boston last night. He's like, I've never seen it in the NBA ever happen. And so it's one of those things. I talked to one of the executives for the 76ers, and they've had problems in the past with condensation. Basically what happens, it was over 60 degrees yesterday in Philly and it was raining and very high humidity, and they had the ice down in the arena. It's never 65 degrees in Philadelphia at the end of November. I mean, it was a weird weather anomaly. So they were having problems with the court. The thing is, though, she told me that it wasn't a condensation issue. It was something that they didn't know what it was. They were having a hard time figuring out the cause of it. And so that guy, the sound we just played, him talking about there being a sheen on the court, it really was. It was like a weird slippery film over the court. The problem is the Kings told them about this at shoot around in the morning. So for them to say that they found out an hour before the game is completely not true.
Nate, she covered it, but honestly, isn't this proof of global warming?
I would say so. Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know since we're, I don't even want to get into that.
No, you don't. That was my fault. All right.
I don't even want to get into that.
We've got a lot more on this in the next segment. Let's move on.
Well, Major League Baseball finally has reached an agreement.
Yay!
With the union, the CBA. Yeah.
Good job, everybody.
It happened late last night, which they had 4 hours left. I don't know why, you know, they didn't just sit around and, I don't know, shake hands or whatever, and chill and drink grappa.
Why not? Drink
but
what?
Grappa.
What is that?
Oh.
Okay, move on.
Okay,
sorry.
Yeah. But there will be no work stoppage, which makes it 26 years since there was last a strike in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
And it's a 5-year deal, you guys. So we're looking at 31 years. But the best part, Dave, and I know we're going to get into it later with Bob Nightingale, there's a lot of interesting stuff coming out of this agreement.
Oh, yes, there is, Nathan.
I don't understand why baseball can make it so easy to now where, like, crappy baseball players are getting paid more than great football players. Everyone's just, you know, they're just cool with that.
It's not baseball's fault.
No, it's not.
NFL Players Association's fault.
I don't know that it's the Yeah, well.
NFL, most popular sport in America. NFL, the best deal and worst deal, I should say, for the players. Mm-hmm. Best deal for the owners. Connection there, maybe, possibly, kind of, sort of. I don't know. There's something there. There's something there with that. Either way, there are some great highlights we'll get into later with Bob Nightingale. But the best of all is the All-Star Game no longer decides field for the World Series. Thank you, God. It will now go to the best, you know, the team with the best record, the champion, if you will. And if it's AL, NL, doesn't freaking matter. Thank goodness. Screw you, Bud Selig. Morning Brew number Trace.
Hey, we might have
giggity.
We might get a good Thursday night game tonight, guys. Vikings, Cowboys. I can't help but feel like the Vikings are just gasping for air right now, trying to get their hands over their own throats.
Yeah, this really could be, and I think what it is we're so used to getting saltines on Thursday night, someone's tossing us a Ritz, and it's the most amazing thing in the world. Dallas in Minnesota, and the line on this game, at least the line I'm looking at, is 3 points, which, as we all know, home field generally gets you 3 points, so it's kind of a pick 'em game, if you will. You got two teams. Dallas is better, but, man, that Minnesota defense, if they can get it together, it's going to be interesting to see how they fare against Ezekiel Elliott and Dak Prescott.
This is just a crazy game to me. I mean, Mike Zimmer is apparently going to be missing the game. He's undergoing emergency eye surgery tomorrow morning. Yeah. Apparently, he's already had 2 surgeries on his eye this season to repair like a torn retina. So yeah. The reports aren't really clear as to what exactly is going on, just saying that he will be undergoing surgery and they're trying to figure out who's going to coach this game. But I was thinking about it. I was like, when you look back, when this game was originally put on the schedule as a Thursday night game, they're thinking it's going to be a matchup between Teddy Bridgewater and Tony Romo, who had missed all but 4 games of the season before, and now look at where it is. It's kind of just crazy to me.
Good point by Katie right there. Katie, I'm taking Minnesota tonight.
Are you?
Yeah, and wow. I think just because it's a Thursday game, they're at home. I think that defense is just good enough to win on a short week and give them a little bit of hell. I don't see the Cowboys going 15-1. They're very, very good, but. Again, the Vikings at home with that defense on a short week, I kind of like that to keep it close and then maybe steal something at the end.
Well, it'll be interesting, that's for sure. You hope that this is one of the better games of the week in a weekend where in 4-down territory coming up at 7:17, we'll have a conversation. There's some weird matchups. It's a weird weekend in football with some matchups that are actually really good that you wouldn't have thought were really good about 4 weeks ago. And speaking of trap games for the Dallas Cowboys, we'll also later in the program talk about the Raiders and whether or not they're going into a trap game this weekend. First up, though, when we get back, Philly, trust the process, don't trust the floor. Apparently it's slippery, slidey in the city of waterly love. We'll get into that next with Katie Christensen in Boston. She was in Philly yesterday. She's got all the news there. Nate Goodyear and myself all the way till 9 o'clock. Don't go away on the drive. Sports 1140 KHTK. Professional. So we are 6:34. Happy holidays from Sharif Jewelers. Visit SharifJewelers.com. Katie is in Boston.
Oh, my goodness. Are you two okay?
We're having a great time.
It's kind of like when mommy and daddy are gone and the boys are playing. Matt George is sick today, so Nate's in there running the board. And I mean, and really, Katie, I know you deal with technical stuff whenever you're on the road. We don't give you enough credit, but we're going to forget about that today. We're going to focus on Nate spinning about 90 plates in there. And really, I'm just in here kind of scratching. So, you know, I'm the one out of the three of us that, and like normal, really not doing much of anything.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, listen, man. I mean, I know you're joking and stuff, but everyone thinks they can sit in that big chair until they got to do it and juggle 2 other personalities and a bunch of time reads and try to be funny. And
you guys are just a couple of personalities, let me tell you. Especially the chick over there. It's 6:35. Happy holidays from Sharif Jewelers. Visit SharifJewelers.com. So the PA announcer sounded drunk. The court certainly was a little bit drunk last night.
He was probably terrified of those fans. Let's be honest.
And can we also, we're having fun and we're ripping Philadelphia and the organization. And to be honest, number one, they did not want this game to be canceled. It's much worse for them and their organization. Nobody tried to do this. It happens. It's happened a couple times in Philadelphia. But can we prop the Philadelphia fans for a second here, now you heard the announcement, you heard the boos, and Katie, I wasn't there, but I heard nothing about this, so I don't think it happened. Nobody threw anything on the court last night, and it's Philadelphia.
Would you be able to tell?
That's a good point. No, it would have made a splash.
If they did, it would have just skidded right off.
Give us I want to say it was your counterpart with the Philadelphia broadcast who did this, but it was still hard to pick up on television. At one point, he put his hand under the basket stanchion and showed it to the camera. And it was shiny from moisture. Can you give us a little bit more of an idea, being there, how wet? Was it wet? Was it damp? Was it bubbly?
So it's really difficult to explain. I wouldn't explain it as wet, like condensation. You know, it was.
Someone said it was like someone smeared like Crisco or bacon grease or some crap.
Exactly.
Like that.
It was like a slippery film, and it was shiny. And I didn't walk out to center court, but I was talking to DeMarcus, who, you know, you saw DeMarcus kind of come out.
DeMarcus Cousins, just to be clear, right?
Yes, wait, DeMarcus Cousins.
DeMarcus.
Okay. DeMarcus.
Not DeMarcus Ware. Go ahead.
He came out and was kind of checking the floor. He grabbed the mops.
He was mopping. We got video. It was funny.
But he went out to center court and he told me that it was really, really bad at center court. It was apparently more like a wet feeling at center court than it was just like a slippery.
Hey, no.
Would you stop with your? I mean, seriously, I'm trying to tell you what was going on with the court,
no.
From perverts.
No, I can't. So no, but I'm also thinking about. Okay, so we used to have issues in our gym in high school where, I mean, Katie, you might remember a little bit. There's like asbestos all over the ceiling. It's like open insulation that sometimes would fall down onto the floor and it would make the floor like excessively dusty. And I remember one year during tryouts, there was this kid that everyone knew wasn't going to make the team, right? But he thought he was going to do it. And he's out there trying hard, and bless his soul for that. But the floor was kind of slippery. So we were doing defensive slides, right? You know, like, you know, three one way, and then you pivot and you go the other way. And every time that he would hit a slick spot on the floor, it was like he was trying to slide as far as he could. Like he thought that was showing off. Like it was like a third grader in their socks on a linoleum floor, where like they run and they slide.
Yeah, risky business style.
Exactly, and he's like doing that during basketball tryouts, trying to look rad.
And he didn't make the team.
No,
huh?
He didn't. That's what I was laughing about. I wasn't being a perv until you said wet at center court.
Nice job, Nate. What's he doing now?
That's a great.
He's probably
question.
Making more money than all of us.
Probably.
I hate that the game was.
But he doesn't have the glory, Dave.
I hate that the game was postponed as a fan. I am ecstatic that the game was postponed and they didn't do something stupid like put players out there because they didn't want to piss off the 24 people that attended last night. And
there was
then,
a lot of people there. The irony of this situation, you guys, really, is that it was an unplayable floor. I mean, no matter what they did, they tried for a long time to fix it. It was unplayable. And for it to be in Philly, where they have a bunch of young talent who they haven't been able to keep on the floor, and then it to be an issue on their court, I just thought it the irony behind it, because they just got Embiid back. It was a big deal last night that his minutes restriction was being increased.
28 minutes.
Yeah, but 28 minutes with the fact that they've lost six games by seven or less, and I think two of those were by like two or three points, or only two of them. Jesus, Katie, you can get it.
Get it together.
Only like four of them were like two or three points, and that included a game that they almost beat Cleveland. So this team has been playing extremely well, and on top of that, they've been in some overtime games where Embiid was not able to play in the overtime because they didn't have a cushion. It was a hard set 24 minutes. Well, not only did it increase to 28, he also has a cushion for overtimes. But this is why it's kind of exciting for them. When you talk about the close games and how this is a better team than we're used to. I mean, you look at their 4-win record and you don't realize it's a much better team. But with Embiid on the court, and Dave, this little bit of information is for you because I know you are so excited about him.
I am.
With Embiid on the court, they're the number two ranked defense in the league.
Wow.
When he goes to the bench, they're the 30th.
Wow. That's crazy.
A 4-minute differential plus potentially overtime minutes in how many close games they've lost, they really feel that it's a big deal. Nate.
Nate. 4-win team, man. Listen, we should all be as lucky as Sam Hinkie to like openly go to our bosses and be like, hey guys, I'm going to just fail. And there's really not going to be an end in sight. Like, I'm going to just fail until I fall backwards into success. And then you get fired for doing exactly what you said, and you get treated like you're some sort of genius. You get profiles in Sports Illustrated about
what is the next step.
Yes. God, if there is a next step for that bozo in the NBA, that guy is a fraud.
Here's what's garbage. There's a little bit of garbage about this take, and this is what I like to refer to as the deadspin Sam Hinkie take. Not that you don't have your own thoughts, Nate, but you both share the same take. This is the part I have a problem with. Is there any circumstance of things that could happen in Philadelphia over the next 3 years that would cause you to say, you know what, I was wrong, Sam Hinkie had the right idea?
No.
So if the Philadelphia 76ers...
The right idea is to not lose on purpose.
Why?
That's exactly what Nate said.
But that's the thing. If the Sixers win the NBA... And this isn't going to happen.
He didn't even have a plan, though.
If the Sixers win the NBA championship the year after next, led by Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, they get the Kings lottery pick in a year, and there's something else going on with them. I was reading about another move they made.
They get the Lakers lottery pick as well this year,
and it's directly led by results of the Sam Hinkie quote unquote plan. I think it's unfair
that's not a plan.
How is it not a plan?
Because if you get that many number one picks, you better hit on one of them.
But he didn't trip and fall and get a number one pick. He purposely tanked for like 5 years.
No, like he
by the way,
they've
only had one number one pick since Allen Iverson.
And I mean, that's luck or lack there. This is
Embiid
was
great.
Three. No. Nate, I agree with what you're saying. I understand where you're coming from. But I don't necessarily agree either. Like, I can understand. Now, listen. I'm not willing to say that Sam Hinkie is a fraud. I think that he is a very different individual that approached
piece?
It. Yes, I did.
Do you think that guy could stop smelling his own farts for five minutes?
We got to break. Katie, you will lead us. You will lead us off when we get back. Is Sam Hinkie a fraud, or is Nate, as the kids say, a quote hater? We'll talk about that next. Katie, again, you'll lead us off right here on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Listen to the Grant Napier Show. Doug Christie also every single weekday from now through November 12th, between 4:30 and 5, be a part of the 13 Days of Christmas. What is that? Get a Noble for a Christmas tree from Green Acres Nursery and Supply, and a pair of Kings tickets courtesy of Doug and KHDK. You qualify to win the grand prize by doing that December 13th, which is Doug and the KHDK crew out to your house to decorate your tree and get food for all your family and friends. And you get upgraded at a Kings game as well. Green Acres Nursery and Supply, proud partner of the 13 Days of Christmas. Contest info, KHTK.com. Big show planned for you. Bob Nightingale will join us at 7 o'clock to talk about the new baseball CBA. That's right, no labor stoppage there. Andy Benoit will join us at 7:35 from MMQB. He puts a lot of those cool videos and stats together, and we've had him on before. It's always great to talk football with him. Darren Collison, his weekly show at 8:05. When we were last with you a few minutes ago, we were starting to delve into Sam Hinkie. Nate, not a fan. I am a borderline fan. Katie was just getting ready to explain her position. She is in Boston, of course, right now on the Kings road trip. Katie, pick up where you left off. Sam Hinkie.
Listen, I think one of the issues with Nate, and this is where I completely agree with Nate, one of the issues that he has with Sam Hinkie is that losing as an athlete is just something that absolutely should not happen. You do not ever go in and try and give less than your best effort to be the best that you can. The difference here is that they were not throwing games. They were not intentionally losing games. This had nothing to do with the coaching staff or the players. This had everything to do with the fact that Sam Hinkie had decided the way for them to rebuild this team was to acquire a bunch of draft picks, right? And go young, try and do it that way, try and do it on the cheap, have a long-term plan that it was going to be brutal to as you were going through it, but the payoff would be huge. So he just wasn't trying to help make the team any better. And I think that it's like, okay, I see what he was trying to do. I think the jury's still out on whether or not we're going to see if that was a good or a bad idea. But it was so far in left field and so taboo in the NBA and professional sports in general, the way that he approached it, he's getting a lot of criticism for it. But there's a part of me that I'm like, well, we're starting to see how it works.
No, hold on. There's no surprise that if you get high draft picks, you should be able to do something with them.
Sacramento Kings on line three.
First off, if they ever, when was the last time they got like a top three draft pick?
Did they
hang on to those
guys?
My issue is that what he did, forget about, you know, the players winning and losing or whatever. What he did takes absolutely no skill, and I'm sick of fart sniffers like him failing their way up in society. Like, dude, listen to some of the stuff this guy says. He owns 25 Blue Blazers, all the same size, to reduce decision fatigue. That's nonsense. Just think about that. This guy was in charge of an NBA team. Listen to this. Every hour between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., his Fitbit vibrates. Do you know why? So that reminds him.
Not because he's not exercising.
No. It reminds him to reflect upon the last hour and see if he achieved his goals. That guy is full of crap.
But there's a difference between you guys get lost.
He is a different individual.
Right. And you get lost.
He's a nut job.
You get lost in the personality of the guy and the big 12-page theses that he puts out there. And I'm not going to disagree with you on that.
Don't you short him a page. It was 13 days.
Because my whole point is people should stop encouraging jerks like this.
Okay. Because here's the thing. Here's the bottom line. The Philadelphia 76ers future is about 30 times better than the Sacramento Kings future.
And it has nothing to do with Sam Hinkie.
You're telling me the Kings' future wouldn't be better had they tanked like the Sixers for the last 5 years? They wouldn't be in a better spot?
I can't say that.
Odds are it wouldn't be better. Odds are, because I agree with you, you can't. But when this team is sitting on a core of Joel Embiid, Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, who the hell knows?
Point. It doesn't take any It doesn't take skill to do what he did, to step in. And again, with no end in sight either. It's not like he said, this is a 3-year plan. This is a 4-year plan. No, his plan was to sit in there and fail as long as he could until he stumbled into a good team.
But if the ends justify the means, isn't that okay?
No.
And it may not take skill necessarily, but I would say there was
because at some point, like, you have to put players around it, and all he did with that core was put players around it that weren't even NBA players.
Did it take skill for him to fleece the Lakers in the Michael Carter Williams trade, where he has their number one pick this year or next year? Did it take skill for him to fleece Vlade Divac? Perhaps, and that fleecing.
Did it?
Well, I'm
that wasn't Vlade. That was Pete D'Alessandro.
No,
it was
Vlade. It was Vlade who did the dump. It was one of Vlade's very first moves.
Oh, yeah. That was one of his first moves.
And again,
right.
the jury is out on that. I think quite simply that trade relies on two things, the future of Nick Stauskas and whether or not the Kings have to turn over a first-round pick to the Sixers. But still, there's that. I agree with you, Nate. He lost games. He got high draft picks. Let's see if he got
the
lucky with Ben
Simmons. The
guy
is a grifter is my point. He's a snake oil salesman.
I would pay my entire salary my entire radio salary to sit and watch Sam Hinkie and Nate Goodyear have a conversation for an hour.
I would too.
I don't think you can have a conversation with a guy like that. I mean, did you read the profile? That's my whole point here. This guy is hardly a human being.
I'm not arguing
how he ever gets hired. This is a guy that was born with a silver spoon in his mouth and has failed upward his whole life. Listen to the type of crap that
he is one of the most wanted people in Silicon Valley right now in terms of hiring.
Silicon Valley. Sorry.
Silicon. Did I say silicon?
You did, which is hilarious.
As we all know, Silicon Valley is like a not only like a beacon of good people and morality, but, you know, also like intelligence in fields other than the tech world, right? I want Silicon Valley setting the standards. That's what I want.
You're focusing, and I understand it, on what a ding-dong douchebag this guy may be off the floor. My thing is this. So many people, and I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Just because a guy's weird, it's like, oh, well, he must be a genius.
No. But I think just because a guy's weird doesn't mean he's an automatic moron either. I think that's it. And my point is inadmissible in a court of law when we're judging Sam Hinkie and the Sixers. Good or bad is what he's doing outside the court. People want teams, and you talk about this all the time, trade DeMarcus Cousins, break it down, rebuild. I swear to you, I would give an appendage had the Kings tanked for the last 5 years. It would have sucked during the 5 years, but I'm pretty sure right now they'd be in a better spot.
It's better than being in mediocrity purgatory.
Yes, yes. And
The Sixers are a four-win team.
I guess my biggest issue is not what you're saying, Nate, because there's logic there.
I still think they're a year away, Nate, but okay.
My issue is that there's literally no win for Sam Hinkie out of this. And
there shouldn't be. He got fired. He failed at his job.
He got fired. Just because he got fired doesn't mean he failed at his job. And I know that sounds weird, but it's true. If you can get fired stupidly and not have failed at your job, if the 76ers are in the playoffs next year,
dude,
or the year after.
He was an abject failure repeatedly. Hey. That was his stated mission in Philadelphia.
If they have success in the playoffs and they build around this core, though, he's a failure?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Hey, guys.
Yes.
I just want you to know, Brian Colangelo is very happy that Sam Hinkie did what he did.
I'll bet
because
he is.
now he gets to reap the rewards. And Brian Colangelo tried to tank himself in Toronto, and it did not go very well.
We'll take the break. We'll come back. We'll talk about somebody who is not an abject failure, somebody who's phenomenal at his job. Bob Nightingale talks baseball with us next, and the new CBA in baseball. You're going to be surprised and very happy, I think, about a couple of the new changes that are coming out right now. We'll do that next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.